Hey, season watchers, it's time to hear from John Latimer and his weekly phonology report. If you didn't know, on Tuesday mornings, he goes through his notes looking at what the changes have been this day in the 42, 43 years that John has been doing phonology and noting the differences in nature. This week, he described autumn as a two-step, and so a slow dance into autumn, and is reminding us to look out for things like vines that are starting to change color. That's like woodbine, and also paying attention to robins. He said they are gathering in big flocks right now, and he's seeing flickers also gathering with those robins, and they're looking for food right now. Most of them are. Speaking of food, you'll get an extra podcast this week, or the regular Season Watch podcast. We'll include our full conversation with Minnesota DNR Bear Project lead Andy Try. And we're talking about the 20,000 calories twice a day that the bear needs at this time of the year. That's going to be fun, coming out later this week. Until then, here's our very own John Latimer. This Season Watch podcast is a production of KAXE. Thank you for listening. I'm Heidi Holton.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Simply put, there's a rhythm to it all, and we are beginning to do the fall two-step, and it is not a quick dance. It's nice and slow, and this year it may even be slower. We'll talk to Bob about that on the weather part of things later on. But I think with El Nino coming in as strong as it is, it may be a late fall. We'll find out. In the meantime, if you're looking for signs of fall, and who isn't, right? I mean, because fall brings us, well, all of the hunting seasons. It brings us Halloween, it brings us Thanksgiving, it brings us skating. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to like fall. So if you're looking for fall, signs of fall, I'm seeing some red maples begin to show some color, especially the ones that are grown along the what is a dry swamp now by my house. Walking in the woods, you probably are seeing these vines that are growing up all over everything, and you have a lot of choices there. It could be woodbine, which has five leaves in a kind of a palmate sort of an arrangement. Palmate, look at your hand and think of five leaves sort of emerging from the center of that thing, and that's a vine called woodbine. It turns bright red in the fall, and I've seen a few bright red leaves of it. There is another plant that is quite red right now, not as bright red as the woodbine, but very, very much in the red end of the spectrum, a plant called black bindweed. All summer long, it's been vining up over things, and it grasps here and twists there, and right now the flowers are in decline, almost done, and the leaves are very much red. Spreading dogbane, that 3 to 4 foot high, well, 4 feet would be a nice tall one, but say 3 feet high plant, red stem, dark green leaves. The leaves are turning yellow. It has small bell-shaped white flowers that are streaked with pink. It has been blooming for more than a month, and it has been absolutely inundated with insects, butterflies and moths, just feasting every imaginable size and shape of bumblebee have been in the spreading dogbane. It is one of those plants that gets a lot of attention from a lot of insects. So check out spreading dogbane right now. The leaves of the spreading dogbane are starting to turn yellow. Milkweed is starting to show some signs of yellowing leaves. Pincherry is showing a few yellow leaves at my house. And if you're looking down at the ground, the oak fern, which looks a little bit like bracken, well, quite a bit like bracken, but it's very small compared to bracken. It's like a third or a quarter the size of bracken, and it is turning brown now as well. And of course, other ferns, the interrupted ferns, are rapidly turning brown. So are bracken, for that matter. So, a few signs of fall. If you are an animal and you're looking for fruit to eat, the following trees and plants, shrubs, still had fruit on them. Not all of it is anything you and I are going to want to eat, but they're there and they will provide food for bears, among other animals. So lots of animals eat berries, including this robin that is hanging around outside the studio right now. But black chokeberry is covered in fruit. Nannyberry has a lot of fruit on it, but it is green, green, green. The apples in my yard are getting ripe. I ate a nice, juicy Zestar apple the other day right off the tree, just the way I like to eat them. I have a crab apple, and I think it's not Dolga. I think it's American crab or American beauty. Anyway, the apple is quite large, probably 2 inches, 1 3/4 inches in diameter, and very sweet, a really good crab apple that is ripe right now. I have a black cherry. My neighbor Marvin has a black cherry growing on his property, and I keep very close tabs on it in my phenology records. And I was there the other day, and it has a branch that is starting to show some signs of fall. So it's in that group too, but there were still ripe cherries on the plant that haven't been picked off by the birds yet. So still a few black cherries available. The pagoda dogwood, I suppose it's the birds, because the bushes aren't really torn up the way a bear would do it. But the pagoda dogwood berries have been consumed as they ripen. And I am finding very, very few pagoda dogwood berries left to consume if you're a bird or even a bear, if that's what you're looking for. The roundleaf dogwoods have quite a crop of fruits that are starting to shift. They've been green, and now they're shifting to kind of a light sky blue. So check out the roundleaf dogwood. Red osier dogwood is covered in berries, and they are not particularly ripe yet either, but will be soon, and those will be food for many, many critters. Speaking of the robin that was hanging out outside the door, I had a flock of robins come through my yard the other day. Now, we talked a little bit about robins last week, and it bears repeating. So they're all over the place. There's a robin in everybody's yard all summer long. And then suddenly in August, they disappear and they're gone. You don't see them. They're not in your yard anymore. They're not hanging out every day where you can see them. And you think, oh, have they migrated? Well, what they've done is gathered into flocks. And these flocks are moving around and searching out all of the fruits that I mentioned, they're searching out those. They're also searching out angleworms. And to that end, in that flock of robins that was in my yard this last week, there were two flickers that were hanging out with the robins. And it's that many eyes theory, you know. The flickers will eat some fruit if they find it and want it. They're also they are one of the ground feeding woodpeckers, so they're eating a lot of ants this time of year. And of course, the robins are eating worms, and so they kind of were moving together. So I was seeing lots of robins and flickers in a flock around my house, and I noticed a couple outside the studio here this morning, and we'll hope for the best for them. Other birds that I've seen this last week, I've got a juvenile red-tailed hawk that hasn't quite figured out what's what, and he's been hunting along my driveway. I encourage him. I hope he's eating lots of rabbits. I haven't made much mention of the rabbits, but the cottontail rabbits are having an incredible year. Everywhere I look, there are rabbits. My house, my neighbor Marvin, he's got rabbits. I've got rabbits. Dallas over in over in Akeley's got rabbits. They're just cottontails are having a really, really good year. And of course, that means that, you know, during the fall and winter, the owls and the foxes and the coyotes and wolves and just a whole host of predators are going to eat really good. And so they'll have probably a good crop of young next spring. And that then will sort of chase the rabbits. And then the rabbit population will crash. And eventually the predators that feed on the rabbits will, their population will crash as well. And then the rabbits will come back. And you get the feeling. It's sort of up and down. And right now for the rabbits, it's up. And for the predators of the rabbits, it's a good time to be a rabbit predator. So check them out. Other birds, I've heard barred owls calling at night. That who cooks for you? I wish Harry were here. He could do that call as well as a barred owl itself. And hummingbirds. And we had a brief discussion about hummingbirds last week, and I mentioned that I hadn't seen a male. My wife saw two males this past week, but in both cases, it was a single visit. Probably a migrator moving through. I got a note this morning from, I can't remember, Andy, was it? And Andy said that he was feeding hummingbirds and that he had a male or several that were coming to his feeder pretty regularly. My sister-in-law, who lives just north of me, has a male or had a male that was coming to her feeder pretty regularly. If you get repeat visits, you probably have a, you know, a local or one that has, is on migration and isn't in that big of a hurry maybe. But typically this is the time of year when you will see fewer and fewer male hummingbirds. And I would expect to see the last of them before the end of the month. It'll be about the middle of September before the females are all gone. The females and juveniles are all gone. Keep your hummingbird feeders out. I generally don't take mine in until just about the 1st of October. This time of year, I change my ratio. All summer long, I've been feeding 4 parts of water to 1 part of sugar. This time of year, I feed 3 parts of water to 1 part of sugar. So 3 to 1 instead of 4 to 1. It gives them a little extra boost. They've got a lot of flying in front of them, and they're going to need every bit of energy that we can provide them. So up your ante a little bit, give them a little bit more sugar in their sugar water, and don't despair. What I do as season goes along is I don't fill them full. I maybe do half a feeder full, and then when I see that they've drunk that down, I'll fill it back up to half. If I fill the whole thing up at the rate that they're drinking at this time of year, it just it can go bad in there. It can foul and be not something that the hummingbirds are going to profit from. So better to just go a little bit less and fill it more often if you have to. Now to talk about some of the flowers that I'm running into. The asters are in bloom, and there are a lot of them. This past week, I found flat-topped aster, large-leafed aster, northern heart-leafed aster, goblet aster, purple-stemmed aster, calico aster. I think somebody had a northern blue, reported a northern blue aster. There are just a lot of different asters out there, and some of them are quite difficult to discern, but they are beautiful and they're welcome. Some are blue, some are purple, some are white, some are large, some are small. They come in all sizes and shapes and colors, and they are lovely to look at right now. Of the other flowers blooming, horseweed is probably at its peak of bloom. Hedge bindweed, that's the one that looks a little bit like a morning glory. Got that big white flower. I see a few of those still blooming. Ghost pipe is still blooming. That's that all-white, non-chlorophyll, saprophytic plant that grows in the pines. And it is still, I'm still finding that in flower. Along the edge of the lake, meadowsweet is still flowering. And then I have a list of what I call tall yellow flowers. And if you start at the top, the very tallest ones, those are the sunflowers. And they are probably best just described as tall sunflowers or wild sunflowers. They are the tallest ones. And then the next level is going to be the goldenrods. And among the goldenrods, you have tall goldenrod and Canada goldenrod. And those are both very tall, 4 to 5 feet, big plume of yellow flowers at the top. And they're going to be pretty obvious when you see them. So you've got sunflowers and then goldenrod. And then you've got mullein, which is a column, a thick, tight rope-like column that can be 6 or 7 feet tall. And it's going to be mostly green with a dot of yellow here and there as there are still a few flowers blooming on the mullein. Evening primrose is another 4 to 5 foot tall yellow flower. The flowers is larger and more easily discernible than the one on the mullein, but it is also a tall yellow flower. And then going down from there, you get a little bit lower. You've got flat-topped goldenrod, gray goldenrod, and then black-eyed Susans. And those are all of the, not all, those are many of the yellow flowers that are blooming out there right now. Couple of final notes. Monarch butterflies are still hanging around. I have a lot of monarch caterpillars, or had a lot of monarch caterpillars. All seem to be third, fourth instar. That is fairly large and are probably right now in chrysalis. They will be emerging right around the end of this month and then migrating to Mexico. The monarchs that you see flying around today are probably of the group that is going to migrate to Mexico. So keep an eye on the monarchs. And I mentioned earlier about dragonflies. Not seeing a lot of dragonflies right now, but I don't think it's the end of season. I think it's just maybe I haven't been in the right spot. We'll be letting you know as we see them. And of course, as always, if you have notes to share, please get in touch with us. We love hearing from you, and you are my eyes and ears and noses and all of that. You are my senses out there where I am not. So I can't be everywhere, and neither can you. But where you are is a little different from where I am. So send it along. I'd love to hear from you.
Support for Season Watch Podcast comes from the Sugar Lake Lodge near Grand Rapids, a Northwoods setting on the shores of Sugar Lake, offering lodge rooms, cabins, and golf villas, with on-site dining, a golf course, and access to the lake, trails, and seasonal outdoor recreation throughout the year. Plan your stay at sugarlakelodge.com.